So we've been talking since I started about the benefits of salvation. And so when you sign on to salvation, right, then it comes with all of these benefits, right? All of the stuff that we've talked about. Gosh, we've talked about a lot of things. You know, we've talked about freedom from sin, freedom from other people's opinions. We've talked about, I can't even remember my own sermons now. That's terrible. I should have written that down. Here, I'll go back through my notes. Let's see. We talked about you don't have to care what other people think. You don't talk about, we talked about how God gives us something to live for, how we, you know, we have freedom to be bold, how we are not in control, how we can release the overwhelm. We've talked about, well, okay, that's good enough. Anyway, we've talked about a lot of benefits. But just because you have salvation doesn't mean that you're taking advantage of these benefits, right? A job can offer you a 401k and you not sign up for it, right? And so, like, let's think about the thief on the cross, for example. He died right next to Jesus, and he got to go to paradise with Jesus that day. So he never had any opportunity to tap into the benefits that are in salvation. Really, all he got was his fire insurance, right? He didn't go to hell. And so I would hate it for you guys, because you, like, just because you got saved when you were 10 and you don't die till you're 90 doesn't mean that you took it. I mean, you could spend 80 years not without the benefits. You could spend 80 years just like with fire insurance. And I would hate for you to miss out on that, because it's so good. Amen. Salvation is so good. So today what we're going to talk about is forgiveness. And it is, it's a big chunk of our salvation package. In fact, it is maybe the chunk of our salvation package. When you get saved, you are forgiven for the stuff, all the stuff. We'll get into that. We are a people in need of forgiveness because we're sinners. Right, God's standard is absolute perfection. There is nothing, there's no any little bitty miss, and you've missed the whole thing. Right, God's standard is absolute perfection, and there's nothing else in between. Okay, that's why we need forgiveness, because we can't be perfect. All right, so let's just imagine, for example, a basketball goal, and a basketball goal is 10 foot tall. And God's standard was that you had to dunk a basketball in order to get into heaven, right? Let's just imagine that that was the case. So for some of us could do that. Others could not, right? Although if that were the standard for heaven, then people would probably practice a lot more than they do. Anyway, but the trick here is that it's not a 10-foot goal. It's a mile-high goal. And so there might be some who could dunk on a 14-foot, 15-foot goal. But nobody is getting to 5,280 feet. Nobody. And so that's the standard. You're standing here and you can't even see the goal. You're just standing at the pole and the goal is all the way up there. And that's God's glorious standard. And so there might be some who could jump higher, but nobody's jumping that high. That's the standard. And we can't get there, because we're sinners. Now let's look at some scriptures. I think we're going to start in Galatians chapter 5, verse 19. When you follow the desires of your sinful nature, the results are very clear. Sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry, sorcery, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, dissension, division, envy, drunkenness, wild parties, and other sins like these. This, folks, is who we are. Left to our own devices, this is who we are. We're sexually immoral. We are idolaters. We are quarrelers. I didn't practice that. Anyway, we are jealous. We are selfish ambition. If there's anything that, you know, like, you might be cruising through this list thinking, well, I'm not that sexually immoral. I'm not that impure. I'm not that lustful. I'm not that idolatry or sorcery. But, you know, you go through this list, but when you get to selfish ambition, you're out. None of us. None of us are making. When you're born, oh, it's a cute baby. Yes, it's also this package of selfish evilness, right? It really is. Like, and I hate to say that about your baby over there. I know you got one. But you'll, like, I mean, as he grows, then you'll see, like, oh, this thing is a turd. It's so selfish all the time, right? That's, I mean, look, it's just the nature of us humans. We're sinful people. We're sinful people, and we care about ourselves. Okay, so these are, you know, these are the sins, and that's just one type of sin, like sin that we commit. So you get angry at your sister, and you slap your sister in the face, okay? Sin. You've done the thing. Don't nod your head back there. He's nodding his head back there. Ethan is nodding his head back there. No, don't do that. Okay, so we commit sins of commission. We do a thing. We gossip. We look at pornography. We lust. We do a thing, right? That's us committing sin by doing a thing. There's also sin found in James chapter 4, verse 17. Remember, it is a sin to know what you ought to do and then not do it. So it's not just slapping your sister. It's also, how about this? This is going to hurt. You wake up in the morning, and you feel that, like, that rumbling with the Lord is like, hey, won't you spend 10 or 15 minutes with me this morning? And you're like, okay, yeah, I totally will. And this comes from personal experience. And so don't do it. I'm not just throwing this on you guys. This is me too. Like, okay, Lord, I totally will, but let me use the bathroom. I don't drink coffee, but let me get my coffee. Let me, let me check my phone and make sure there's no emergencies. I got a shower, and then I'll check in with you after I exercise. And now all of a sudden you're out the door to work, and you just pushed it away. Oh, man, that's sin. It's sin. The Lord told you what to do, and you didn't do it. And that's real simple stuff right there. That's real, like, the Lord is real subtle. He comes in, he's like, I think it's time to spend a little time with me. He's like, I will. I'll get to it. Or even bigger things. Like the Lord says, you know, hey, your cousin doesn't know the Lord. You know, when you're at the family reunion this week, you need to witness to them. Your dad doesn't know the Lord. You need to go over there and tell your dad about the Lord. Oh, I don't think I could do that. I don't think I can go over there. I can't say that to him. I can't. I'm sorry. I hate it, but that's sin. The Lord has told you what to do, and you're not doing it. That's sinful behavior. And look, I'm guilty. I'm not casting stones here. This is all of us. And remember, the standard is a mile high. Right? And so even one little mess up, even one little wake up in the morning and don't spend time with Jesus when he's asked you to, that's enough. That's it. You're out. You missed the standard. One little thing. It's all, because you have to do the whole thing or none. That's the rules. So we have established that we are sinners, because nobody in this room skated through that list that I just went through. Nobody. We're all a bunch of evil-hearted people. I'm sorry. We are. But here's some good news. All right, let's read some scripture. John chapter 8, verse 1. Jesus returned to the Mount of Olives, but early the next morning, he was back again at the temple. A crowd soon gathered, and he sat down and taught them. As he was speaking, the teachers of religious law and Pharisees brought a woman who had been caught in the act of adultery. They put her in front of the crowd. Teacher, they said to Jesus, this woman was caught in the act of adultery. The law of Moses says to stone her. What do you say? They were trying to trap him into saying something that they could use against him, but Jesus stooped down and wrote in the dust with his finger. They kept demanding an answer, so he stood up and said again, all right, but let the one who has never sinned throw the first stone. Then he stooped down again and wrote in the dust. When the accusers heard this, they slipped away one by one, beginning with the oldest, until only Jesus was left in the middle with the crowd with the woman. Then Jesus stood up again and said to the woman, "Where are your accusers? Didn't even one of them condemn you?" "No, Lord," she said. And Jesus said, "Neither do I. Go and sin no more." I love this story. I love this scripture. Because it puts God's justice, his holiness, all together with his love, all in one sentence. Okay, so now here you need to see this. God is holy. He is perfect. Okay? God is loving. He's merciful. He's caring. Right? So now how you balance those two, I don't understand. My brain can't comprehend those two. But I know that God is perfect and his request of us is perfection and nothing short of that. And I know that his love forgives everything. His love in mercy covers all of our sins. So, but what's so wonderful about this story is that it puts both of those into the same sentence. All right, so Jesus says, all right, he says to the Pharisees, let the one who has never sinned throw the first stone. God's justice was available in that sentence, but his mercy was also available in that sentence. The woman technically was supposed to die. And just as a side note, the man was also supposed to die. In the Old Testament, it wasn't just the woman that got killed. It was both. Both were meant to be stoned to death. So where is he? You know, some people suggest that it was one of the Pharisees that was actually, you know, doing the deed with the lady. And that's how they caught her. They set her up on purpose. And the Bible doesn't say that. That's just what some stuff I read. And I wanted to come up with what Jesus was writing with the dirt. And I read several different articles and stuff about it. The truth is, the Bible doesn't say what he wrote. So we're not supposed to know. That's what it is. I wanted to be like, impress you with my intellect. But I got nothing. Okay. Anyway. So, but what's amazing about this sentence is that God's justice, his holiness, okay, stoner, but let you who have never sinned throw the first stone. So here's what's awesome about this sentence, is that Jesus was the only one in the circle who could throw a stone. And he did it. He didn't. He didn't throw any stones. Instead, what he said was, neither do I. Go and sin no more. There was one time when I was young. I was young in the Lord, and I was dumb, and I was doing dumb stuff. And I remember like going to the Lord, and I was just beating myself up about the sin that I had committed that I'm not going to share with you. And I was actually walking through the woods, and I had a little pocket Bible in my hand, and I just was praying, Lord, I'm so sorry. I didn't mean to, you know, I don't want to be like that, blah, blah, blah. And I'm just praying and praying and praying. And then I just opened the Bible, and I just read that little story, and I felt the Holy Spirit speak to me the same time I read that sentence, neither do I go and sin no more. And his grace and his mercy just washed over me. And it helps me to become the man that I am today because of that experience. And I think that let's move on to the next scripture. Romans Chapter 7, verse 21. I have discovered this principle of life, that when I... Okay, this language is twisty, so forgive if I mess it up. I have discovered this principle of life, that when I want to do what is right, I inevitably do what is wrong. I love God's law with all my heart, but there is another power within me that is at war with my mind. This power makes me a slave to the sin that is within me. Oh, what a miserable person I am. Who will free me from this life that is dominated by sin and death? Thank God the answer is in Jesus Christ our Lord. So you see how it is. In my mind, I really want to obey God's law, but because of my sinful nature, I am a slave to sin. So now there is no condemnation for those who belong to Christ Jesus. And because you belong to him, the power of the life-giving spirit has freed you from the power of sin that leads to death. What a glorious scripture this is. And now there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. So, in the beginning, Adam and Eve sinned and then created this whole world of sinners. This whole world. Me and you are included, right? And when Jesus came to the cross, he died on the cross for your sins. Now, you know, you hear people say, Jesus thought about you when he was on the cross. And the truth is, yeah, that's not hyperbole. Jesus actually passed, like your sin was laid on Jesus. So starting with Adam and Eve, whoever's next, Cain and Abel and Seth and all them, all the way through Moses and Abraham and David and whatever, Gideon and Daniel, and all the way through the whole, and Luke, Mark, Peter, James, and John, and all the way through to Jared and Shannon, like all the way through to the last guy who will ever live, the last guy who's ever born, the last sin that's ever committed was all one at a time laid on Jesus. Every sin was laid on Jesus. And so here's the beautiful thing about this. This basketball goal, as I stand at the base and there's no way I can reach it, right? Jesus created an elevator. And so all you have to do is get on the elevator. That's it. That's what is required of you. And then once you're on there, all of the sin washes off. All of the condemnation washes off. This is not true of you that don't know Jesus. Okay? So this is, though there's no condemnation for those who belong to Christ Jesus. If you don't belong to Christ Jesus, there is condemnation for you. And I hate to say it. I hate to be the bearer of bad news. But if you don't know Jesus, hell is waiting for you. And it's not going to be fun. You know, you hear people say, well, me and my buddies, we'll get there together and we'll crack a cold one. Nope. There won't be no cold anything. Hell is going to be torment. Torment. And I genuinely believe that the worst part about hell is just simply the absence of God. You've never known that. Your entire life, you've been alive here on earth. You're surrounded by the grace and the, sort of the common grace and the presence of the Lord. Not that you're necessarily in it, but you're a part of it, right? You get to see his awesomeness in the clouds. You get to see his awesomeness in the trees and the grass and the volcanoes and the ocean and all the beautiful stuff. You get to experience the goodness and the grace of God. But in hell, that's not the case. In hell, it's dark and there is no God. And it's not going to be a party. I heard Erwin Lutzer actually this week just teaching about how whatever it is that you crave on earth, you'll continue to crave it there. Just nothing will be available to you. You'll constantly be hungry. You'll constantly want the attention of people around you. You'll constantly, and all of that will be missing. You'll be alone in the dark. There's condemnation for those who are not in Christ Jesus. And I really don't want you to choose that path. This morning I'm going to give you a chance to choose the right path. Now, there is something required of us as Christians. Once all your sins were forgiven, you know, occasionally you hear somebody pray, forgive us our sins or whatever. Like, all your sins are forgiven. When you get on the elevator, as it were, then the sins are gone. You've made it to the top. You can dunk the basketball. God has done the hard work for you. He did the lifting for you. Okay? So you don't have to, all your sins were laid on the cross, every one of them. So you don't have to, like, beat yourself up over sins that you committed and then and ask for God's forgiveness. The forgiveness is available to you in your salvation at moment one. God knew your first sin. He knows your last sin and all of the sins in between. It's all covered, okay? I think what God requires of us is repentance. Now let's walk over that. Repentance is simply this. You're walking this way towards sin. You recognize you're walking towards sin, and you turn around and you walk the other way. From my personal life, whenever I get caught up into some sin, then, I recognize it. I go to the Lord and I say, okay, Father, I've messed up again. It is my intention to never commit that sin again. And look, I mean, I'm just being honest, like, just be honest with the Lord and be honest with you, like, I'm probably going to commit that sin again unless I die between that repentance and the next chance I get. But, like, you know, I pop off at my kids or I lose my temper or, whatever kind of thing it is that I've, whatever selfish ambition or pride or arrogance, like, I've got so much of this horrible stuff bubbling up in me. When I let some of that out and then I go and repent, Lord, I don't want to be arrogant anymore. I want to be humble before you. And so, Father, I lay that sin out before you, and I ask you, God, to help me have the strength to never do that again. It's my way of repenting. I'm sorry that I was that way, and I don't want to be that way ever, ever, ever again. And I think God really wants to hear you confess your sins to him like that. I think repentance is important for all of us. And then what happens is beautiful. And let's look at this. Psalms chapter 103. He will not constantly accuse us, nor remain angry forever. He does not punish us for all our sins. He does not deal harshly with us as we deserve. For his unfailing love towards those who fear him is as great as the height of heavens above earth. He has removed our sins as far as the east is from the west. Now, I can't, like, I tried to, this week, I tried to figure out some way to explain how far the east is from the west. And I never nailed down any good, like, illustration. But if you walked out the door of this church and just started heading towards east, right, just started walking towards Virginia or whatever, you could walk and you could never, like, you could walk until you would never stop. If you just keep walking east, you never stop. I guess eventually you'd have to swim. But if you walk east, you'll never stop. You can just keep going east, always going east. And so, like, I can't wrap my brain around how far apart my sins are from, you know, how far he throws my sins away, because there's no distinguishable point to say, well, it's that far away, because it's always further. Wherever your brain can reach, it's further than that, because he's capable of, like, everything, and our brains are not capable of everything. And so our first, like, this may be the best benefit of our salvation is forgiveness. And it comes whether you, like, it comes when you sign on. You don't have to work for this one. This one doesn't take, you know, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, all those things. Those take work. This one doesn't take work. The work has already been done. Jesus did the work. And so, if you would, let's bow our heads and close our eyes. So, if you're in this room this morning and you've never done the salvation thing, you've never given your heart over to the Lord, maybe you might even think that you have, but the Lord, you can feel it now. It's working in you can feel him talking to you. you're nervous and antsy, and you can feel it in your heart. You can feel it in your chest. The Lord is dealing with you. And so if that's you this morning, then I'm going to give you the chance to respond. And I beg you, please don't stay in your seat. If the Lord is dealing with you, this is the biggest decision that you'll ever make. It's not marriage, it's not kids, it's not graduation, it's not career. This is the biggest decision, because it's not just today. It doesn't just affect this moment in time. It affects forever. And I promise you don't have to be clean to come up here. You don't have to be good at this already to come up here. You don't have to be righteous and kind and not saying cuss words and stuff. No, that's this whole gig is you come up here and then He slowly cleans you. So if you're worried about what my friends will think, it's not going to matter when it comes to eternity. If you're worried about, well, I've been in the church forever, like people just assume I'm saved because I've been here forever. Man, don't do that. Don't do that. Come and make it right. The Bible tells us that gaining your salvation is believe in your heart that Jesus Christ raised from the dead and confess with your mouth that He is Lord. That's what it takes. It's not magic. It's what it takes. Believe in your heart that Jesus raised from the dead, and in claiming, Jesus, I will make you Lord of my life. And for you, Christian, this morning, as we sing this song, you got some unrepented stuff in there. You got some yuckiness. You got some of your own arrogance, your own selfishness, your own anger, your own jealousy, your own whatever. You got your own stuff, and you're just hoping that the Lord passes you by and He's not paying attention to you. No, He's looking right at you in this moment. And so if you got stuff, then this is your moment to come and lay that stuff before the Lord and give it to Him. I'm going to pray for you guys, and then we'll stand and sing. And if you're ready to give up, then you come on and let's give up. I'll meet you here if you want me to pray with you, or you can pray on your own. It doesn't make any difference to me. I just want you to connect with God. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray that you would give us your Holy Spirit. I pray that your Holy Spirit would speak to us, God. That we would put away the thoughts of humans, that we would put away the thoughts of other people. God, that we would only be considering you in this moment. God, I pray that you would press your Holy Spirit down on us so heavy that we cannot continue to live our lives the way we've been living. That we have to change. We got to give it over to you. God, you are glory, you are hope, you are grace, and it is in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. All right, you guys can stand. We're going to come on up here if you want. I know God is dealing with some of you. Please stop fighting Him. I know He's dealing with you. I know He is. I know he's in this room. I know he cares about you. I know he's dealing with you. Stop fighting him. Let go. It's better on this side. I promise it's better on this side. Father, we love you. God, I pray that you would not leave us alone until we turn over to you. I pray that you would help each and every one of us, Father. Because I know you're dealing with hearts, Lord. I know you are. God, I pray that you would cause us to be miserable until we turn over to you. God, don't let us go back to just our normal lives, doing our normal stuff every day, ignoring you, God. I pray that you would make us miserable until we turn ourselves over to you. Thank you, Father. You love us all the way. Enough to come and do the thing on the cross, God, to build the elevator for us, Father. You're glorious and we are not. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.